Today's podcast is brought to you by Austin Gold. Enjoy. This is the Commodity Culture Podcast, where we interview prominent investors, fund managers, analysts, and company CEOs to give you an edge when it comes to investing in the commodity space. Hello, everybody, and welcome to Commodity Culture, where our goal is to make you a better investor in the commodities space. My name is Jesse Day. Before we dive in, standard disclaimer, nothing here is investment advice. Do your own due diligence. And today's guest is the president and director of Austin Gold, a gold exploration company focused on gold targets and making district-scale gold discoveries in the southwestern United States. Dennis Higgs, great to have you on the show.
Jesse, thanks for having me.
Well, let's start with a broad overview of the gold space itself before diving into Austin Gold. And I'd like to start with your current assessment of the gold sector, focusing on the metal itself first. How do you view the gold market at present, and what are the catalysts that you think could drive the gold price higher?
First of all, the consumption of gold produced in the world is about 50% in jewelry, 40% in investments, and about 10% in industry. And gold rallied 13% last year and touching a record in early December on the back of economic and political uncertainty, geopolitical tensions, wars, expectations, of course, that the Fed was going to start lowering interest rates after an aggressive hiking campaign to tame inflation. So investors typically want to own gold in a rate cutting cycle as it benefits from the lower treasury yields and a weaker dollar. So the price of gold moves typically inversely to the price of the U.S. dollar. When the Fed starts lowering interest rates, that's when we expect that gold should go higher.
And what do you think about the Fed's next move? This is obviously an area where a lot of controversy is involved. A lot of people have different opinions about that. There's some who advocate we're in a higher for longer environment. Obviously, there was several rate cuts expected this year, and now that number has been revised to a lower amount. What do you think it would take for them to have to start cutting rates, particularly aggressively? Do you think something else might break in the system, perhaps another banking crisis or something like that?
Yes. I mean, that's the general, I think, consensus is that something's going to break. Like a banking crisis or something like that. We had what looked like that was going to happen last autumn with one or two banks starting to struggle and specifically in California. But that is probably something that could initiate the start of the lowering of interest rates. Of course, the other event that would help lowering interest rates is the strong evidence that inflation has been tamed. And whether we're going to see that right away or not, I don't know. But I guess we're going to find out.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's hone in on the gold mining sector now, which appears tremendously undervalued when compared with the metal itself. Would you agree with that assessment? I mean, even the majors are not doing so well when we compare it to the price of gold hovering near all-time highs. Give us your take on if that's presenting an opportunity right now in the gold mining sector and just your thoughts in general on the valuations for the miners.
The price of gold is near all-time highs in nominal dollars, but the gold indices are down 25% to 27% from their highs in the last year. The S&P TSX Venture Composite Index, which is the broad market indicator for the TSX Venture Exchange, which is where many junior gold companies are located or traded, I should say, is near all-time lows. So as Goring and Rosenzweig have stated in their most recent newsletter, gold equities are likely one of the most undervalued asset classes in the world today. And as one of our other newsletter peers recently wrote, not since the beginning of this century have we seen an opportunity like that offered by junior mining stocks today. So I think, you know, I read a lot of these articles. I follow a lot of these newsletter writers that focus on gold. And yes, I believe very strongly that gold mining companies and junior gold exploration companies are grossly undervalued.
Yes, I had Adam Rosenzweig on the show recently. Goring and Rosenzweig really love their research. Very thorough, very in-depth, and definitely worth paying attention to. I'm wondering what your thoughts are on the broad market, because it continues to be held up by a small handful of stocks. Some say it's the Magnificent Seven, some say it's down to the Magnificent Five. Nonetheless, these indices continue to grind to new all-time highs. Is the broad market in a bubble, in your opinion? And if so, when it bursts, could we see some of that capital eventually flow into the mining sector?
Well, I think the simple answer is yes. It's never a good thing to try and time the market. Bubbles are always easier to identify in hindsight, in the rearview mirror. There's something called the Buffett indicator, named after the famed investor Warren Buffett. And that is the ratio of the total U.S. stock market value divided by gross domestic product. The Buffett indicator expresses the value of the U.S. stock market in terms of the size of the U.S. economy. If the stock market value is growing much faster than the actual economy, then it may be in a bubble. And this ratio fluctuates over time, since the value of the stock market, of course, can be very volatile, but gross domestic product tends to grow much more predictably. The current ratio of 184% is approximately 50.6% above the historical trend line, suggesting that the stock market is overvalued relative to gross domestic product. So from 1929 until January 1933, which was the Great Depression, the Dow Jones Industrial Average had fallen 73%. However, shares of Homestake Mining, which at that time was the largest gold producer in the United States, rose 474%, and Dome Mines, Canada's largest gold producer at the time, soared 558%. So I think that's your answer if history repeats itself, and as you know, it often does.
Yes, very good examples there. In Gold We Trust recently published a chart showing all fiat currencies trending towards zero when measured in gold. Do you think we are headed for a scenario where further erosion in the value of fiat currency provides tailwinds for gold? And I'm wondering maybe if you could throw in some of your thoughts on the strength of the U.S. dollar or lack thereof, and how you see that developing moving forward.
Sure. There's a concern or a tendency or a thought that the U.S. dollar is a reserve currency for some nations around the world, actually. And there's a thought that is going to change or is slowly changing. China, Russia, Brazil. But federal banks in Western nations have a 2% inflation rate target. This means that they expect citizens to lose an average of 2% of their wealth each and every year to inflation, which is a decline in the purchasing power of the currency. Fiat currencies are not backed by real money, which is gold. Politicians who like to spend a lot of money to get votes don't want to overtax their citizens to pay for all the programs, so they print money instead. When more dollars are purchasing the same amount of goods and services, of course, the price of those goods and services goes up, and that's your inflation. And of course, the value of the fiat currency goes down. And throughout history, all fiat currencies eventually go to zero. So I think that's my belief.
And do you think we might see gold reintroduced into the monetary system in some form or another? I mean, obviously, there's a lot of talks about the BRICS nations and them potentially moving to some form of gold-backed currency. Do you buy into that? Is that a gold bug fantasy? Or do you think we could see gold somehow or another return as money again?
Well, that's a very interesting question. I think you're seeing countries such, for example, China right now apparently is one of the, as a nation, is the largest consumer of gold for their central bank. So there's a, and I guess if they're buying gold, they're probably selling U.S. dollars or using U.S. dollars to buy that gold. So they're slowly transitioning out of the U.S. dollar as a reserve currency. So is it going to happen immediately or fairly quickly? I don't know about that, but I think that when you see countries such as China and certain other countries, even Poland, I think, is a strong buyer of gold right now. You're seeing that transition might happen over time. And boy, I'll tell you, it might be a real shock to the U.S. dollar if that does happen.
Yeah, absolutely. Massive central bank buying has been a trend in 2022 and 2023 and probably going to continue this year as well. I want to transition to Austin Gold in a moment, but first I want to touch on something in the company presentation where it says the gold price forecasts range from $2,000 an ounce to $35,000 an ounce for this decade. Now, 35K seems outrageously high, but then again, a lot of the catalysts we discussed seem to be in place. What are your thoughts on what gold's true value is and what it might turn out to be within the next decade? Obviously, there's the caveat with if the gold price goes to 35,000, there's probably a lot of turmoil in the world. I'm wondering what your thoughts are there.
Yeah, who was it that said if we have $35,000 gold, I don't think we want to be here, but probably worldwide wars and so on. Anyway, the $35,000 possibility for gold was from the Goring and Rosenzweig news center, the Natural Resource Market Commentary, and that was August of last year. Realistically, and they're talking about by the end of this decade, 2030. But I think realistically, a realistic possibility for gold, in my opinion, is easily $5,000 per ounce. And of course, I'm looking forward to that happening. So,
absolutely. Well, let's pivot to Austin Gold. For those unfamiliar with the company, can you give us the 10,000-foot overview?
In a nutshell, we are a gold exploration company. We're listed on the New York Stock Exchange, well, the NYSE American Stock Exchange. Our symbol is AUST. A simple way to remember that is AU is the symbol for gold and ST is the symbol for street. So Gold Street is our symbol. But the foundation of any company is its people. And we have a team that are experienced with a proven track record of exploration, discovery, mine finance, mine development, ESG, and mine operations. We have every sector of the industry covered. The board of directors have been involved in the building of $3 billion companies. That's Silver Standard, Pretium, and Energy Fuels. And we are exploring for large gold deposits in areas known for hosting large gold deposits. The prize is potentially worth billions of dollars. So in the mining company life cycle, the biggest returns can accrue when a discovery is made. So that's Austin Gold in a nutshell.
And give us some more detail on your properties. You've got these projects located in favorable geologic settings for discovery. So let's hone in on that and any color you could provide on your properties.
I'll start with Stockade Mountain first, which is located in Southeast Oregon. And Stockade was previously drilled by three major mining companies, but they were looking for open pit deposits. So their drilling was fairly shallow. That was back in the 1980s, 1990s. And the average depth of those drill holes was about 430 feet. They did find significant gold in veinlets, a veinlet system called a stockwork. If you imagine a shattered windshield, that's what a stockwork is, little veinlets. And but no drilling had targeted the high-grade veins, mineable underground methods. And typically, in these stockwork systems where you get the stockwork near the surface, there's typically a feeder system, a feeder vein that brought that gold closer to the surface. So these projects with the feeder veins tend to get richer at depth. And so at Stockade Mountain, it is the feeder vein system that we are drilling for. We are currently drilling actually at Stockade Mountain now, where we just completed a drill program. So that's Stockade Mountain. And we have put results out on the first two holes. But another project of ours is Lone Mountain, which is in Nevada, about 20 miles east of the Carlin Trend and about 12 miles south of the Jarrett Canyon District. So over 93 million ounces of gold have been produced from the Carlin Trend, fairly small area actually, and approximately 9 million ounces of gold have been produced from the Jarrett Canyon District. So overall, this north central part of Nevada has produced over 160 million ounces of gold. It's this large gold production and current reserves places Nevada among the largest active gold producing districts in the world. So Lone Mountain comprises 13 square miles of a highly mineralized lower plate window in the middle of one of the largest and richest gold districts in the world. So a window is where erosion has carved a hole in the upper plate and exposed the lower plate. And it is these lower plate carbonate rocks exposed in these windows that host these large Carlin-type gold deposits in Carlin, Cortez, and Jarrett Canyon. So this project that we have, the Austin Gold Lone Mountain Project, has been owned by one family for 60 years and is arguably underexplored. So we're going to go in. It hasn't been drilled for a number of years since 2009, I think, was the last time a hole was drilled out there. It's been held by one family. Actually, an extreme example of the one family holding this and the fact that it's underexplored is they have a shed in Elko where they have some of this data. 60 years of data has been stored in various locations. And so we asked the vendor to have the key to this shed so we can go open it and get access to some of that data. And they didn't even know where the key was. So we had to go cut the lock off. So I can tell you this is a very exciting project in one of the richest gold districts in the world and very, very underexplored. We're pretty excited about Lone Mountain.
You mentioned the team in the initial overview, proven track record in a number of different areas. So talk to us a little bit more about the team behind Austin Gold and how they're applying their experience to your projects.
We have seven directors that between us have been involved in the building of $3 billion companies. Four of our directors were previously in executive management and directorship roles with Silver Standard. And Silver Standard is now called SSR Mining and has a market cap of about $1 billion. Three of our directors were with Pretium for 9 or 10 years, again, in senior executive management roles. And Pretium was acquired by Newcrest in March of 2022 for $2.8 billion. Two of our directors were with Ronertz Energy, which is a company I built along with my team, and it was acquired by Energy Fuels, and two of our directors at Austin Gold are currently directors of Energy Fuels. And Energy Fuels trades on the NYSE American with the symbol 4U. It's UUUU, and now has a market cap of just over $1 billion. So the team has been very helpful with their experience and their network. And for example, in 2022, we were able to raise US $15 million in our Austin initial public offering and list on the NYSE American Stock Exchange, which by itself is a significant achievement. So we've got a good team, very active, and we work well together. So, of course, when you're building a company, it's best to do it with people that have done it before.
Yeah, absolutely. You mentioned earlier drilling results at Stockade Mountain. You released an update on those initial results at the end of January. Could you provide some more details there?
We have announced the results of two of the holes at Stockade Mountain so far. The gold intercepts in the first two holes confirm that the mineralizing system at Stockade Mountain is robust and contains significant gold grades. And this is still in the veinlets, the stockwork at the surface. The strongest intercept there was a little over 8 grams gold per ton over 4 feet, and several other, 1 to 2 gram gold intercepts. So that's just in the veinlets near the surface. Those are good results. And the holes were in the upper part of the system, as I've mentioned, and we have not yet hit the feeder vein system, which is what we're hoping to hit, what we're looking for. And we're hoping, of course, that feeder system is much richer again and will support an underground operation.
So drilling ongoing at Stockade Mountain then, and what are some of the plans, obviously continuing to drill there and any other plans as well, and maybe some more details on the drilling plans for Stockade Mountain here in 2024?
We just finished drilling at Stockade. For the rest of this year, we plan to go back and drill more holes at Stockade in this summer when it's drier. And we plan to do a lot more surface work, targeting work at Lone Mountain, rock chip sampling, geochemical studies, geologic mapping, geophysical surface work. That's to refine targets for Lone Mountain. And then, of course, we look forward to drilling that project. That one we're going to make a lot of noise about this summer. So, Austin, we're well-funded for all of our planned exploration programs. We currently have well over US $9 million in our treasury, and there's only 13.25 million shares outstanding, of which management owns about 50%. So we're well-capitalized, well-funded for our planned programs. So before we drill, I can't tell you what is in the ground and whether Austin Gold will have a discovery on the projects that we're currently working. However, we are exploring for large gold deposits in areas known for hosting large gold deposits, and the prize is potentially worth billions of dollars. When there is a lottery with a $1 billion prize, there are a lot of people buying the tickets and only one potential winner. With Austin Gold, with a potential $1 billion prize, if we have a discovery, all shareholders are potential winners. And you can't win the lottery if you don't have a ticket.
Yeah, very well said. Could you give me that number again on management ownership?
Sure. So there's 13.25 million shares outstanding, and management owns a little over 50%, 50.1%. So we're firm believers in what we're doing and looking forward to building this company.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much for joining us today, Dennis. I'm going to put a link in the description below to both the Austin Gold website as well as social media for people who want to follow the story, and really appreciate you coming on and sharing your knowledge with the audience today.
Jesse, thanks for having me. I really enjoyed this. Thank you.
Commodity Culture is a podcast that covers investing in commodities and natural resources. If you'd like to hear more, be sure to subscribe so you are always alerted of the latest episodes.